In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. They will listen to my voice, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. Our first reading this morning tells us that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when he rose to explain to the elders of the people where his unique healing power came from. When was the last time that we were filled with the Holy Spirit? We were filled with the Holy Spirit the last time we reached out to help someone who was stumbling, who was emotionally, financially, or physically crippled. When we speak out for justice, when we speak out for decency, when we speak out to the things we hold most dear, it's then that we are filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God, John's Gospel assures us, indicates that we are already children of God, though we often don't recognize it. The more we allow our childhood in the spiritual life to shine forth, the more hungry we'll be fed, the naked clothed, the imprisoned set free, and the sick healed. John's Gospel today pictures Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It points out four very important aspects of his ministry for us. These are all part of his action. First, he gives his life for his sheep. That is, he puts us first. Second, he knows his sheep. He identifies with us and cares for us. Third, he extends his mission to those beyond the ethnic boundaries of Israel. He cares for all. And finally, he brings together all who hear his voice. As we follow these precepts set down by Jesus, we become shepherds in today's world. Some years ago, an elderly woman related an incident that she pondered in her heart. She related that one evening she was tucking her 5-year-old daughter Molly into bed. And as was her custom, she read a passage of scripture to her daughter, sang her a song, and then listened to her prayers. On this particular occasion, she read Psalm 23, which we sang this morning, followed by a song that she had learned as a child and wanted to share with her daughter. And it goes like this, and I'm not going to sing it. Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me. Bless thy little lamb tonight. Through the darkness thou be near me. Keep me safe till morning light. And after singing, she asked, do you have anything you would like to say before you go to sleep? And little Molly, as she's being tucked in, sleepily answered, bah, bah. Children, so often, are more able to articulate truths more readily than we adults. I'm sure you know the old expression, out of the mouths of babes. Without even thinking, Molly was expressing her prayer to Jesus as only a lamb could. Ba, ba. And I'm sure Jesus knew exactly her wish to be protected throughout the night. From our lessons today, we understand that in case of Christ, the sheep represent his disciples, indeed all of humanity. However, the image in and of itself needs to be examined. Shepherds were certainly concerned about their flock or the flock of their masters because it provided them the means of a livelihood. But in the real world, though the shepherd would be some risk to save the sheep from danger, after all, that was his job, he would not lay down his life for his sheep. The notion of laying down one's life was what distinguished Christ in his preaching, in his teaching, and most of all, in Christ's actions. Unlike a shepherd who may lose his life inadvertently while doing his job of tending the sheep, Jesus, in today's gospel passage, assures us that he is a shepherd who is in control of his destiny, and that it was out of love for the Father and his flock, all of us, that he was willing to sacrifice all. And at the same time, he realized that he, under the power of love, was able to take up his life again. He both laid down his life and took it up again as a response to the command of his Father. As we respond to Christ's saving resurrection, we too are asked to love altruistically and heroically. As we do that, we learn something of the cost of discipleship, but we also discover something of the glory of discipleship. The glory of discipleship is our capacity to make the Spirit of God manifest in our world today, just as Peter did in the first reading this morning. When people encounter Christians who are fully alive in the service of God, they cannot help but know that the God of love is alive and working wonders in our midst. Christ's greatest wonder is his capacity to transform lives. He has the power to shake us from our complacency, save us from our prejudices, and deliver us from our predominant faults, and guard us from despair. Christ prods and pulls us forward. His grip on our lives can be broken through the act of our wills. But when we struggle free from the grasp of Christ, we inevitably fall flat on our faces. In this Easter season, we are caught up with many concerns in our lives. Yet, our hope is that we will be herded together by the Good Shepherd, who will lead us toward the life-sustaining pastures we all need in order to flourish. Just as we provide for the needs of food, shelter, and clothing, we realize that we need meaning, beauty, and truth in our lives as well. We must obtain from Christ the meaning, beauty, and truth that we all need in order to be filled with a sense of wonder that make our journeys back to the Creator marvelous as well as arduous. So, are we shepherds? Maybe not in a literal sense, but don't be too sure. If we're ahead of the family, the teacher of a class, a group leader, a committee person, the president of a corporation, we are a shepherd to those people that we work with. And Jesus is speaking to us. He's saying something like this: you are blocking my way, or are you opening it? Are you thinking of the flock, or of your own future, or your next promotion? We have to get it perfectly clear that Jesus speaks to us, not just the people of the first century. Once we realize this, the door opens to the spaces where we meet the Good Shepherd himself. Julius Caesar, a century before Jesus, made a claim: I came, I saw, I conquered. 1,700 years later, Louis XIV made a claim: I am the state. Jesus also made a claim: I am the Good Shepherd. What a contrast. He claimed to be the keeper of sheep, sheep noted for their stupidity and their willingness to follow a leader who loves them and for their value in the marketplace. There's only one thing implied in Jesus' claim: the Good Shepherd cares. He lays down his life for his sheep. He cares about his flock. He cares about the sheep one by one. He knows them each. He knows all of us each by name. I observed when I was in Israel a number of years ago that the relationship between an Eastern shepherd and his sheep is entirely different from anything we're used to seeing. He's always ahead of them, exploring, finding the way, and they follow him. He's always out in front, looking for the green pasture and the still water, going on ahead through the dangerous ravines, clearing the ground so that they can eat safely. Jesus' claim for himself was, "I am the good shepherd." We claim that Jesus is the King of glory, that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. His claim is more modest, yet more ultimate. He is the bread of life, the very food by which we live, because Jesus cares. He's the light of the world, the light by which we find our way and see beauty that surrounds us, because Jesus cares. How much does he care? Enough to go against the establishment of his time and ours, and yes, to lose his life. And because he cared, he stretched out his arms of love on the hardwood of the cross and died for all the stupidity that we do. He lost his life only to find it in hopes that we sheep may find our life in his. So let us listen intently for the voice of Christ in our lives, that we, like little Molly, can answer his call with our plaintive, "Ba, ba." Jesus knows of which he speaks when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and they will listen to my voice." Are you willing to listen and follow and be a shepherd?